Oh.
Parak Asiri.
Asiri, chapter
79,
10.
79A1.
Oh, no.
Dafayin Tesim. We're skipping the introduction. I'll just tell you that Shemitah is Meshamet loans, and it's Meshamet, and it's Meshamet Basayf Hashanah, not Petchilas Hashanah. So Erev Rosh Hashanah is of the eighth year is when you can still collect, but Basayf, it's Meshamet the loan.
What do you do to get around it?
Looking for loopholes?
I don't want to talk about that right now. That's already getting ahead of ourselves. The other thing is the Gemara Makkos says very clearly, if you have a loan for 10 years, right? I lent you money and I say you have to pay me back in 10 years. Shrias is not Masham with that because lo karina be lo yigos. The Issa de Arai says you can't go collect the loan. But that's only if you would have been able to collect the loan had it not been for the Shemitah. But here, you made the loan for 10 years. You still can't collect it for another 3 years. So
what about in the 10th year?
What?
What about in the 10th year?
No, that's not Shemitah year. The Shemitah year was 3 years ago. It has no effect on the 10th year.
Let's say you took the loan in the 3rd year of the Shemitah.
You're making up a case. Okay, yeah, in that case, it would be Meshamet.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. Let's learn halacha. Hashavias meshametes es hamilva. So that's what we started off with. We've already done this. Bishtar, v'shlo bishtar, whether the loan was with a star or whether it was a milva al pet. Right? We're going to get into some detail in the Gemara in just a minute. Hakofes hachanosen meshametes, but if you have your makolet bill, so every time you go into the makolet, take some leaven, you take a bissel of fruit, and you say, put it on my cheshbon. That loan, it's not meshamet. Okay? Im asa a milva, I raise a meshmetas. But if you made it into a milva, then it is meshamet. How do you convert your makolet bill into a milva? Let me hear some suggestions. I want to hear what you guys think.
You add it up. You've been there for a month, you add it up, and you say, this is how much you owe.
Oh, so you're saying the way you convert it is you add up all the totals of all the purchases, and you come up with a total, and now it's a known quantity. That's what I owe. Good? Very good. So that'll be the pshat. Is that number four? Right? Number four? If the shopkeeper calculated the total sum owed, and converted it to a loan, and it's from that point treated as a loan. Now, what does it say here? According to Rush, this conversion takes effect when a payment date is assigned to the debt. So the Rush is learning that we've established a time frame. That's the main thing. The Mordechai Teshuas maintains the conversion takes place when the shopkeeper totals the value of the purchases and records the sum in his ledger. So that was your pshat. So you said the Mordechai's pshat. The Rush seems to say it's when we come to an agreement on a date. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Harishain.
If the person wants to pay,
when? It's the Shrias Enim Shemata Sela B'Soifa. It's at the very last day, yes. So if after Shemitah goes by, you're supposed to. The halacha is you're supposed to pay the debt. You're not supposed to take advantage of this. You're supposed to offer the money. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, Harishon Rishon Mashmit. Each previous obligation is canceled, meaning, so I go into the makolet on Monday and I buy something and put it on my bill. Then on Tuesday, I go in there, I buy some more stuff, and they put that on that bill. So what was on the bill before from Monday, that it's meshamet. And the new stuff is a new bill. That's his swear. When the buyer makes a second purchase, the previous obligation becomes a loan.
Yeah.
What?
I didn't understand that.
Let's read it inside 5. When the buyer makes a second purchase, the previous obligation becomes a loan, while the new obligation is treated as shop credit, not subject to the cancellation. Then he makes another purchase, then the second obligation becomes a loan. Only the latest one is exempt from cancellation. Okay? So Yehuda is, it's LIFO, right? Last one, no, that's not LIFO. It's the last one is not subject to Shemitah. Okay, next. Schar Sochir. So now the guy does your lawn for you, okay? He did your lawn, Erev Rosh Hashanah, on the Shemitah year. And you owe him $30 for doing your lawn, right? Cheap, right? Mm-hmm. Comes after Yom Tov. Sorry, pal. Shemitah took it off. He says, nah, you're wrong. It says it in the Mishnah. The schar socher ain't no mashmet. The stuff you owe a worker, it is not mashmet. So you can't get out of it. It's not, it's a different sug. It's not considered a loan, right? Again, the masa o milva harezer mashmet. If you make it into a loan, it will be mashmet. Here it's a little more difficult to understand how you convert that into a loan. Before, by the storekeeper, we had two shotim. Either the Rosh said you set a date, or we said from the Mordechai you added up the total. What's the shot over here? You're not adding up a total. We know how much you owe the worker. You owe the worker a day's wages. So that shot's not going to make sense.
Instead of you paying.
So it's just a speech.
It's a speech. Why would I do that? I'm
going to
lose the debt.
You're the worker. You're going to lose, right? Not sure. I mean, as far as date is concerned, the rush is shot that has no bechlah doesn't have a shot because there's a. The time frame is kavur in the Torah. When a worker finishes a job, you owe him the money right then and there, right? It has to be paid by the nighttime or else you're over on Baltolin, possibly. Not in every case, but possibly. You know, it's going to be a little more difficult over here. Does anybody say pshat over here? I don't see anyone saying a pshat. I don't have anything in the English. I have nothing in the Hebrew. I looked at the Mara folder, Pnei Moshe, Rash Cirilo. I don't see anybody saying pshat over here. Okay, we'll have to wait on it. Rabbi Yossi Aymer, Kom Lachashi Poisakas Peshvias Mashmetas. That if it's a kind of work which you had to stop doing that work before the Shemitah year came about, then it's Meshamet.
Why is it before? It says in.
I'm assuming that he had to stop working before Shvius. Because it's a kind of work which is usur. Like plowing, right? You can't plow on... If you hired a worker to plow for you. So if he plowed... I'm telling you what it says over here. It says if it's a work which is usur to do on Shvius, call Melacha Shem Afsekas B'Shvius. If it's melacha, which you must stop doing when the Shemitah year begins.
Well, that's what it means?
That's what it means,
right? I thought you just had a
contract with somebody. No, that, I also thought that originally, but then when I read it again, I realized what it was saying. So if it's something which you can't do during Shemitah, such as plowing, so you hire a guy to do plowing for you, comes the beginning of the Shemitah year, he has to stop. You owe him the money, comes the end of the Shemitah year, it's meshamit then, it becomes a loan. If it doesn't cease, then it's not Meshamet. Okay, that's what it says over here. Did I not say something right?
So you don't pay the guy?
Number 7 disagrees with you.
What does it say? One second. What does it say? What does it say? Where does it say that?
According to
23 of Yoshi, wages owed to worker for any work that must cease in this 30th year because of the prohibition on agricultural work. Plowing and reaping are automatically rendered a loan with advent of Shvi'ith. The advent of Shvi'ith.
The beginning.
Yeah.
Advent is the beginning. That's exactly what I said. Mamash b'diyuk mashamati. What? One more time. So I'll just say it again, just to make sure it's clear here. So if you hired someone and he was doing plowing, and in the 6th year he was doing the plowing, he has to stop when the Shemitah year begins because it's Osir,
right?
That kind of a wage owed the Shvi'ith is Meshameh at the end of the Shemitah year. That's when the loan
converts into a milveh. I don't understand
it,
why.
It converts because we have a hard stop on his work.
You're gonna have to pay.
He has a hard stop on his work, and therefore it becomes a loan at that moment. That's what the lambda seems to be.
To the 60th
work. Yep. Not to 7th. He didn't do anything in the 7th. Yeah. Rash explains, since payment for a hired person is due when his work is completed, therefore, with regard to this work which ceases at the arrival of Shvi'ith, payment is due at that time. And the biblical injunction, he may not press his fellow, like yes, it's Re'eh of Esochiv, is in effect. Hence, at the end of the year, it cancels it. Okay, I mean, I hear what's bothering you. I mean, this is Rabbi Yossi's opinion. I mean, this is clearly not like the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says just Dvarim Pshutim. Schar Socher Einu Mashmit, and that's it, finished. But Rabbi Yossi has this caveat that if it's something which could not be done in the Shemitah year, then it is Meshamet. Okay, we have a Machlokes Tanaim here.
What is the
Shemitah
word?
Shamot Kobal Mashe Yodo. Shamot. Ashokin es hapara, the chilka of Rosh Hashanah. So here you have a sheikhet. He's giving out meat for Rosh Hashanah, right?
On Rosh Hashanah.
On Rosh Hashanah. So we're talking about the Rosh Hashanah of the 8th year. Yeah? So remember, it's possible, forget about the way it is nowadays, in the old days of yore. It's possible that the first day Rosh Hashanah was actually the 30th of Elul. And therefore, it was actually not the next 8th year, but it was the last day of which year? It was the last day of the Shemitah year. So therefore, if I was a shochet, and I'm a butcher, and I'm shechting and handing out meat on the first day of Yom Tov to my customers, so they owe me money for the meat I gave them, right? So what does it say? Im ha'chaydesh me'ubar, so if it turned out that Elul was 30 days, guess what? Mashmit. Then the obligation is canceled. Because then it turns out that that was really the 7th year. And so they owe me money, and right? V'im lav, but if the first day of Rosh Hashanah was the actual first day of Tishrei, obviously the loans took place in the 8th year, and there's nothing to talk about.
So, in the bigger picture, the loan is canceled. The debt is canceled.
Yeah.
But at the end of the year, we go back to them anyway. In other words, it's just postponed.
At the what? What was that?
At the end of the 8th year.
The 8th year?
The end of the 7th year.
End of the 7th year, yeah. I'm just telling you that that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. We're not talking about that rule. The debt is off. Okay? I'm just telling you, in Shulchan Aruch it says that even though the debt is gone, you're supposed to offer it anyway. You're not supposed to run away. Okay? Now, over here, he points out in the footnote, as you may have picked up, we just contradicted ourselves. Because in the beginning of the Mishnah we said that if you owe money for a makolet bill, then it's not meshamet. And just now we said that the guy handed out meat, and it is meshamet. So mamash a flat-out contradiction, right?
Except there's a difference between the butcher and the makolet.
There's a difference between the butcher and the makolet? What's the difference?
One guy is out there giving it out, the other
One guy what?
One, I'm going, I'm doing the action of giving out. The other one is you come into my store. Is that a difference?
So why is that a chilek?
No,
wait, that's a chilek. The question is a chilek, the machalik, yeah.
Why is that?
So, what Chomsky said. Chomsky said the chilek is,
in
one case, the guy comes into the store to get the food. In the other case, Chomsky's saying that he's handing it out.
I don't know. The wording is strange.
The Gemara apparently will address this issue on 80B. That's what it says here. So we'll have to wait till tomorrow to get the answer to that question. Okay. Everybody knows what these are. So some afata are 50, Maisi Shemra 100, right? The Knas.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the din? Is the din of Knas. When I owe you money for Knas, does Shemitah take care of that also? So the Mishnah says no. Ain't a Meshamit. It doesn't any Maisi Besin, any Knas, but it's not Meshamit. Hamava Mashkin. Now here is, I borrow $100 from you, Shapsi.
Is that every Knas?
Yeah, this is just examples. I think so. I mean, I can't imagine that other Knosses would be different. I can't tell you for sure that. I don't know. If the other example, I mean, let's take, the example would be, Kefal or Dalav Behei.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a loan. I don't think it would be Misham in any of it. I don't think so.
It's a punishment. It's different.
It's punishment, right? But even the Iker part that I stole from you, I don't think it's Misham with that either. Right? Mm-hmm. You agree with me?
You can miss whatever you say.
Okay.
Fine.
So Malva Mashkin. So here, I borrow $100 from you, and I give you my watch as collateral for the loan, right? Even though my watch isn't worth $100. But I give you my watch, right? Let's say you lent me $30. My watch is worth $30. So it's an old Timex. It keeps on ticking. So if you have my watch, so it's not Meshamed it. Why? Because since you have my watch, it's like you already collected the loan already. The issue of the Torah in the Shemitah year is that you can't go collect something from your friend. Lo yigos. I'm going to collect something. That you're not allowed to do in the at the end of the Shemitah year. But if you have my watch, you already have the payback. So
any loan that has shibud karka would be considered.
Oh, so that's exactly the first piece of Gemara is going to talk about this question. That's the whole page today. Is that issue that you just raised, right? We'll get to that in just a second. Hamoisis choice on the Besdin, and the same thing is true. A person gives his shtar over to Besdin. He gives, instead of, it says that you owe me money. I give it to Besdin. I say, you Besdin, you take control of this. Then it's no longer your legos es ochiv. It's not your brother. This is the lumdus of prosbul. That's correct. But Maisim Shtaraisim, I just want you to realize that the Mishnah has not talked about Prosbul. The Mishnah gave us a din of Maisim Shtaraisim Lebesin, which pre-existed any Takana from Hillel. Okay? This is a pre-existing rule. And if you're Maisim your Shtar to Besin, that it is not Meshamet.
Because it's you already collected it.
No, that's not reason.
Yeah.
No, the reason is because it's not Ochiv. It's not Achiv, it's not your brother. It's Bez. I think that's what it says.
Yeah, that's what it says in 18.
18, the phrase excludes the debt that's been handed over the court. For now, the court is collecting the debt.
You say it's the same thing by Knas? Same logic, because it's a Besdin that's
collecting. No, Besdin's the one that's established the Chiv. But I'm me, woe it to me. You owe it to me, though. Different. Here they're the ones doing the collection. Okay, on the base. I test on base. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Nicho, the Gemara says, Shaloba Shtar. We understand if there's no Shtar involved. So we understand that Shvius is going to be Meshamet Dechov. Bishtar, V'yasa k'malvah al-mashkin. U'frek the Gemara, why is a shtar going to be any different if you have a malvah on a mashkin? The shtar can collect from the karka, and the karka should be like mashkin, just like Dov asked just a second ago. V'loy hei mashkin, it should not be cancelled. So the Gemara says, Amar b'yechanon, tifto b'shtar she'in bay achrayas nuchasim, u'kir b'meir. There's a famous machlokes from Meir and the Chachamim, whether achrayas is tov sofer or not tov sofer. You're familiar with that, right? That if achrayas is left out of a shtar, so the Chachamim, which is the halacha, I'll tell you that first, they hold achrayas tov sofer. It's a mistake. The sofer forgot to write it in. But just because the sofer forgot to write it in doesn't mean that it's still legally binding. It's an understanding. That's the Chachamim's shita. Reb Meir holds no lav tov sofer. If the sofer left it out, it means there is no achrayas. So Reb Yechon is learning that our Mishnah, when it says that Shvius is Meshamait, both Bishtar and Shlo Bishtar, is only going to make sense according to Reb Meir in a case where there's no achrayas in the Shtar. But if there was achrayas in the Shtar, then it would be like Milvah HaMashkin. That's what Reb Yechon seems to be saying, right? Right? Correct? So the Gemara says, also of the Kumi Rabbi Yechonon. So now there's a case that came in front of Rabbi Yechonon. Let's see if he follows through with what he just said. Bishtar Shiesh Barachrayas. It's a question what the gear says here. But we'll learn the way he has it here. That it's a shtar that has Achrayas. Right? It has Achrayas Nechosim. So we're expecting what?
It should be
Meshamet. That it should be Meshamet?
It
should not be Meshamet. V'hairei mashmet, and what he paskin, then it is mashamite. So he did a little bit, not what we were expecting, right? Omar, he said, because you have a svara to answer the halacha, you're going to do maisa. The Gemara is lashon in Bavli, he's always shonu medame nasa maisa, right? Just because you came up with a svara doesn't mean you're going to actually follow through with that svara. In other words, we're not so sure of ourselves. Lamaisa, the Mishnah says that it's Meshamet, whether it's Bishtar, whether it's not Bishtar. So to that sign that the Mishnah is going only according to our mayor, this is not so simple to assume that. So therefore, he wasn't so anxious to go move forward with his approach. Amar B'Yirmiya, even if there's a talking about where there is a chrayas in the shtar, but let's suppose the loiva has no karka, so there's nothing to collect from. So that could also be a good example why it's not like milvala mashkin, right? Because there's no mashkin, there's no karka. Hoy miyeshal karka in a mashmit, but if it would be, if he had land, then it would not be mashmit. Rabbi Yossi, I feel yeshu karka mashmit. Even if he has karka, it's mashmit, right? Even though the lien is recorded in the document, it's still going to be like he's learning the Mishnah kipshuto. We're going to learn the Mishnahs like the Chachamim, and Achrayas is tov sofer, and whether the shtar has Achrayas or not Achrayas, you can collect. And we're talking about a case where the lova has karka. And still, it will be Meshamet. That's what it says here. That's the Rabbi Yossi's approach. Asked Rabbi Yossi kid a Rav, Bob B'Shem Rav. He's coming out like Rav Shita, because Rav said the following: Yichaloi Karka Eino Mashman. If a borrower designated a specific plot of land, it's known as an apoitiki. Apoitiki is apo tehekois, right? That this particular land should be the land from which you collect, then it's any mashamet. Then it's not going to take it away, because the pshat is that since it's so specific, so that's doma to a mashkin. Lo yichad, only if he specifically designated hoim lo yichad, then it's mashmet, and it would cancel it. So Rav is the view that Rabbi Yossi adopted here. It says right. That a loan, which is a general lien, is no better than any a loan which is baal peh. So we got that. Mm-hmm. So we got different shitas over here. Finally, the Gemara talks about mimashavet shalom leishdai v'holak u'machara. Let's suppose a man, right? A woman has a ksuba, right? And I designate a certain plot of land for the ksuba, right? The ksuba is Masayim Zuz. And if I divorce you, then you can collect from that particular piece of ground. For halacha mochara, and then I went and sold that piece of land that I designated for the ksuba. So it says, if she wants to, she can collect from that land. Or if she wants, let's suppose I have other land which is free and available. So a person has bnei choron, and a person has meshubadim that he sold, right? So it says here, mratzos aligvos imena, umishana chasum gaiva. If she wants to collect from it, she can. If she wants to collect from the other chasum, she also can. Okay? Even though the husband designated a specific field for the ksuba, she may nevertheless collect from other lands and movables that are in his possession. Okay, we're going to see a little further. Amar Hila, Hayu Rav Lazar Kahan Tanya, he passed like that, Brisa. Chavraya Bayin, the colleagues asked, Lo Sigva El Menachasim Shubadim, she should only be able to collect from the piece of property that was designated. Why is she able to go to anything else, since he made an apotiki? And the Gemara answers, I'm on Riyasi. So Riyasi said to them, Bnei Chorin lefanel v'an amras meshubadim. She has other Bnei Chorin, he has other Bnei Chorin available for her. Why should she be required to collect only from the karka that was sold? She should be able to go to either one.
I thought that in the ksuba, he said that specific concept.
He said apotiki, yes. But even though it says over here on the bottom here in 14, generally they were concerned that the purchasers of real property should not needlessly forfeit the property to a creditor. So although the designation of the property as a potiki enables the creditor to collect, nevertheless they wouldn't require him to collect from that apotiki if he's willing to collect from property that's in the debtor's possession, right? So, in other words, you have a choice. You can collect from the Bnei Chayrin, or you can collect from the Apoitiki. 15 is also important. Did we do it yet?
No.
We do 15, right? Yeah. So then the last piece of Gemara, Masnisa. So the Braisa teaches the following. Bishaloya, when can she collect from either property? Bishalo amalo lo yehilachachiron elamizet. If he says, you shall not have payment other than from this. Avlam amalo lo yehilachachiron. I'm sorry. Bishalo amalo, where he did not say that. Where he did not say you should only have a collection rights except from this one, where he didn't say those words. So in other words, there's two. Let me just say what it says in the bottom here, because this is easier to say out loud, out of the book first. This is what's called apotiki mufurash. Apotiki mufurash means, I say, he translates it, exclusive apotiki. An exclusive apotiki means you will only be able to collect from this specific property and from nowhere else. That's apotiki mufurash. Then there's apotiki stam. That's where I say, this property is designated for your collection ability. But if there's other stuff available, you could collect from that also.
So how can he sell it? He's already committed it. Okay. He can't get out of a debt by selling the property.
Oh, so she could tore it from the locals. That's the whole
problem. Yeah, in other words, if he has money, he can pay off the loan.
If he has other Bnei Chorin, that's
certainly his right. He should be able to do that, right?
No, but you're talking a situation where a man sold that piece of property. The woman, to collect her ksuva, can't go to the buyer of the property and say, I have a lien on your property.
Yeah, she can.
You owe it to me.
She can.
Yeah, okay.
She can do that.
100%.
Yeah, all right.
Right? So that's the Gemara. Let's do the Gemara inside now. Masnisa the Braisa, which says that she can collect from either one. That's Mishallah Amala. Mishallah Amala Lihikh Abrahamizah. Then she can only collect from that property and no other property. Okay, this is gonna continue on to the next page and we'll do that tomorrow. Lean that. That was page 79. Thank you very much.
Okay, wonderful.